For those of you who are just joining us via live stream, Facebook Live, welcome. May the same spirit that is in this room touch you right where you are. God, speak to your life. I want to take you to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, the first chapter. First Peter, the first chapter, I want us to pick it up at verse 23. Verse 23, when you have it, say amen. Amen. The word of God says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers. The grass withers. Yeah. And the flower falleth away. Here's our focus. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now, this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. I want to preach to you from the title, Heaven Sent. Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. The word is described as being sharper than any two-edged sword. It is quickening. It makes to come alive because it is alive. It is powerful. Its purpose is to divide asunder, separate soul from spirit, and discern the intentions of the heart. Father, I'm asking that you speak a word to us today that is abnormal. A word that does not just tickle our ears, but a word that changes us. I am nothing but a vessel. Use me as such in this moment. Speak through me with power. Let the words touch spiritual ears and change hearts and minds. Father, speak a word that causes us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus, and transform as we renew our minds. Touch every heart so it's open to receive it, anoint every ear to hear it. Have your way, Lord. We welcome your Holy Spirit to move freely in this place. Flip us upside down if you have to, but do whatever you got to do to get us to where you need us to be. And when it's all done, God, we'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for what you have done, for what you are doing, and for what you are about to do in Jesus' name. If you agree, shout amen. Amen. Before you sit down, turn to your neighbor, smile as bright as you can. Come on, show them everything God has blessed you with. Come on, all of your teeth, if you got them, smile. Come on and say, it's heaven sent. It's heaven sent. Turn to the other side of you and find somebody and say, heaven is sending something your way. Yeah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Y'all give me just a little bit more volume. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Heaven is sending something your way. I want to kick this thing off and just say prophetically, if I can, heaven is sending something your way. The flesh cannot receive what heaven sends. The carnal mind cannot contain or hold what the Lord is saying. if God is going to send something your way, it has to be received by the Spirit. And you have to be able to understand what that means. It means that your flesh gets out of the way. Your carnality, your mind, your soul, your rationale, the way that you want to conceptualize things, the way that you want to think about it has to be removed and get out of the way. And oftentimes it's difficult for our mindsets to get out of the way so that we might gain the mind of Christ. And so God particularly sent something to us that can set the whole thing in motion called His Word. Touch your neighbor and say, I got a word, I got a word, I got a word, I got a word. Often with the Word of God, it does not show up in the capacity to which we want it to show up. When God gives us a word, we want it to show up in our time frame and on our timeline. We want it to show up because we are having circumstances and situations that cause us to be frantic and anxious about God doing what He said He was going to do. And so we want that word to show up immediately and impact our situation. The word is really never designed to impact your situation. The word is designed to impact you. The word is not designed to impact your situation because the Bible says that the purpose of the word is to separate soul from spirit, not to separate you from your situation. God uses the situation to get your soul in the place so that when He puts the word in there, you're ready to be receptive to what He's about to say. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, stop worrying about your situation. Oh, yeah, we're going to go there real quick. Stop worrying about your situation. You have to grow to the place of spiritual maturity that you understand that with Christianity comes persecution. That with you walking with the Lord comes some pressure and comes some struggle. And the reason that there's some pressure attached to it is because God has placed something on the inside of you that is so precious that you need the pressure to pull it out. Because oftentimes you don't know it's in there. You don't know it's down there. And so God uses the pressure of the problem to cause you to dig a little bit deeper into yourself so that you can discover who you really are in the Lord. Just look at your neighbor real cute and real good and say, I'm a bad individual. Oh, if the half had been told about who you really are, you would not have this confidence problem and you would not have this difficulty of seeing yourself in this light. You would not have this problem of not seeing yourself as the head rather than seeing yourself as the tail. You would not have this confidence problem of knowing that you are a child of the living God and that you have power to tread upon scorpions and serpents. You would not have this problem of insecurity and feelings of inferiority about yourself when you understand who you are in the Lord. Touch them one more time and say, I'm a bad individual. If I wasn't a bad individual, I would have been gone a long time ago. If I wasn't a bad individual, I would have lost my mind a long time ago. If I was not who God said I was, I would not be where I'm sitting right now. But because I am, I must be a bad. Oh, I wish I had somebody to talk to. Look at your name and say, you're looking at a bad individual. Half the people in this room don't even want to say that. You don't even want to confess that about yourself. And so then you believe whatever people say about you rather than believing what God has already said you're supposed to be. You need to wake your spirit up and say, I'm a bad. Oh, who am I talking to? Wake up your spirit and say, I'm a bad individual. I'm not what they said I was. I'm not the result of that problem. I'm not how they tried to break me. They tried to break me, but all it did was bless me. I'm a bad. Oh, God. Come on, who am I preaching to? I'm a bad individual. Because most of us don't like the persecution, we refuse the plow. We don't like to be cultivated. We don't like to be mined. We just want God to drop it on us, not dig it out of us. Oh, I'm about to wreck it up in here. You just don't know. You just don't know, boo. You just don't know. You want the Lord to drop it on you. Send it, Lord. Send the fire. Send the rain. And God's going, I'm going to send it all right. I'm going to send it because I already sent it. And the problem is that you don't understand that your resources are unlimited. They're just not appropriated. In other words, your resources are not insufficient. They're just misappropriated. In other words, God sent it. You haven't received it yet. And the reason you haven't received it is because you don't like where he hid it. He did not hide it in anybody but you. You don't hear what I'm saying. And now he's wanting you to dig into yourself and pull out of you what he already sent. Touch three people and say, he sent it already. Everything that you're looking for, God has already sent it. You don't hear me talking to you. You're waiting for it to fall out of the sky. It's not going to fall out of the sky. You got to pull that thing from within yourself. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Touch your neighbor and say, I didn't know that was in there. I didn't know that peace was in there. I didn't know that joy was in there. I didn't know that power was in there. I didn't know that idea was in there. I didn't know my millions was in there. You don't hear me talking to you? Oh, just touch your heart and say, it's in there, baby. It's in there. Everything that you're looking for, God done already sent. Paul said it this way, the Lord has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. He already sent it. So we're looking for, stuck in time, for something that God already sent. This is why Nicodemus couldn't get with the Lord when the Lord told him, if you want to enter into the kingdom, you must be born again. Because Nicodemus can only deal with his pain of going back into his mother's womb. And he was saying, I'm too big for that. That's crazy. I can't go back. And the Lord says, you're a master teacher. How can you not understand these things? You have to understand that when you step into the kingdom, now time is not a factor because you're now born again. It's not that you have this one encounter that you came to the cross. It means that every day when you're waking up, every day when you're walking with the Lord, you're born again. When he said it in the tense that was perfect, meaning it happens again and again and again and again. This is why the Bible says every day you get up, you got new mercies. Oh, let me stay there for a second. Slap your name and say, I got new mercies today. Now, if you magnify the number of new mercies in your life, and how many you have had. If you just took your age, I don't want to talk about nobody. But if you just took your age, now if you let's all imagine for a second that we're 21. And I got new mercies every day. By the time I'm 21. And I had new mercies 365 days of the year. So multiply 365 times 21. What do you get? That's right, 7,665. So by the time you're 21, you've had 7,665 mercies. I don't know how old you are, but if you're over 21, over 7,000 times, God has given you mercy. Oh, God. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. All right. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I got some mercy, baby. And when I wake up tomorrow, it starts all over. Again. Because we don't want to look where God put it, we refuse to plow. No man that's fit for the kingdom can put his hands on the plow, turn back and let go. You can't refuse the plow if you're going to receive what heaven sent. And to receive what heaven sent, you have to understand what heaven birthed. Heaven birthed the ability for you to be born again and again and again and again. And every day you wake up, you get a new mercy. That right there, we can collect the offering and go home. I'm 43. Yeah. I guess that's payback, huh? That's payback. You ain't too far behind me. How many mercies have I had? How many mercies have you had? And yet we're still refusing the plow. God gives us the mercy because the plow is not comfortable. We don't like it. We don't like that instrument that starts digging into us and getting us ready to be harvested. The plow is the greatest invention known to man. Without it, you couldn't eat. And if you couldn't eat, you couldn't live. If the earth collapsed on itself today and we had to start over again, I don't want an iPhone to do it. Because an iPhone ain't gonna feed me. I need an instrument that's gonna give me sustainability. So I would have to go back to the plow. And the reason I would go to the plow is because I would already have the information that regardless of how dark or chaotic the earth got, there's still something on the inside of it. And if I had that wherewithal, then all I would need to do is start digging it out. I would know that if I can start cultivating the ground and put something in it, that it has the power that the moment you put something in it, it can then grow what you put in it. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. I would understand and I would be able to look at all of the information that I have and that God forbid something happened to the world and we had to start all over. All I would need is a seed and a plow to get it done. If I had a seed and I had a plow, then I could live off of what grows and I can keep reproducing and keep reproducing. So what you need to start over and what you need to get going is not your phone, it's a seed and a plow. Oh, I wish I had somebody to talk to. Slap your name and say, praise is a plow. I wish I had. Oh, yes, it is. Praise is a plow. Because when I start praising, something starts coming down. Oh, praise is a. My hallelujah is a plow. My thank you, Jesus, is a, you don't hear what I'm saying, it's a plow. My prayer is a plow. Slap your name and say, you need a plow. You want God to send you something and you want it to bless you, but you don't want to use the plow. You don't want to break up the fallow ground. You don't want this thing to start hitting your flesh and your soul. And oh, I'm talking now, y'all ain't talking back to me. You don't want your pride to go nowhere. You don't want your ego to go nowhere. And so you become your own spiritual heroine. You put yourself in the story as the protagonist and you start trying to rescue yourself. But you gotta understand, you can't save yourself, baby, nor can you anoint yourself. That's why God instituted you being born again so that you can come to the end of yourself. And when you come to the end of yourself, then he can send his word and heal you. Psalms 107:20 says, he sent his word and healed them. And so for the word to enter into my life, enter into my heart, enter into my soul, I got to plow. I got to break up this earthly thing that is not receptive to what God wants to send because it was damaged by the pressure of life. And so when God sends it, I don't want to receive it. And so it keeps me seeking in the outer realm of the flesh rather than in the spiritual realm of what God put on the inside of me. So I start looking for my peace in other people. I start looking for my joy in other things. And the problem is that they never satisfy because the flesh is insatiable. You cannot satisfy your flesh. It's going to keep going back and going back to something that's never going to satisfy it. So that's why the Bible says don't satisfy the flesh. Crucify the flesh. Slap your neighbor and say, I got to kill it. I got to kill it. And the way I kill it is with my praise and with my prayer. The way I kill it is with the word. The way I kill it. Oh God, who am I talking to? You ought to lift up a praise and kill your flesh. You ought to lift up a praise and kill. I got to kill it. I'm almost there. I'm almost there. I got to get to where we need to go. And so when you understand that concept, you then understand that I don't have to refuse to plow. And now I can deal with the pressure and I can deal with the persecution. Peter is writing to a group of Christians that has to deal with persecution. And the problem with persecution is that it can either grow you or it can either make you bitter. And so he encourages them that they have to have a conduct within themselves that is courageous, that is above reproach and beyond anything that they're going through. And the reasons why he pointed that they can do it is because they're born again to a living hope. And because they're born again to a living hope, then they have to understand whatever they're going through at the moment is not limiting what God has put on the inside of them. And so he begins to tell them, you have to understand that when you're going through different issues and trials in certain seasons and heavy temptations, you got to know that the trying of your faith is much more precious than gold that perishes. You have to understand that what is at the end of the road, what's going to happen is the only thing persecution can do is call your flesh to fall off and then bring to the surface the beauty and the treasure and the gold that God put on the inside of you. So you thought that situation was going to destroy you. No, it's only uncovering you. The problem that you're facing right now is only uncovering what God already put on the inside of you. You got to know that it's in there. And as Peter is writing this to them, he begins to dig a little deeper and he begins to tell them, you have to understand that that's how God has set this whole thing in motion. And then he says to them, so therefore, seeing that you have been born again, not with a corruptible seed, but with an incorruptible seed. In other words, what God sent to you has the power, watch me now, to stay within the framework of your mind and your soul until it produces something. It cannot be corrupted. The Bible says his word cannot return unto him void, but it must accomplish what it was sent to do and prosper in the thing that he sent it to. And so when God sends a word, regardless of whether or not you received it yet, the word simply hovers around in your soul and waits and sits dormant until there's an opening in your soul so that it can separate soul from spirit and figure out what's going on in the inside and produce something that shows who you really are. But we want to refuse the plow. We don't want to cultivate what God put on the inside of us. The reason we want to refuse the plow is because when you start growing stuff, you start becoming abundant. And abundance creates more competition. When you start producing is when you start having more problems. You don't hear what I'm saying? And more you dig inside yourself and start producing, the more persecution and the more problems start heightening in your life, because the enemy knows if you ever dig a little deeper and hit that treasure that God buried on the inside of you, game over. So I gotta try to stop you from digging. I gotta try to stop you from plowing so that you don't strike gold. Oh, just prophetically touch your name and say, you about to strike gold, baby. Oh God, keep digging, keep digging, keep digging. The enemy is trying to stop you from digging, but you are about to strike gold. I wish I had 10 folk in here that understood what I'm talking about. Oh God, if you've been under pressure, if you've been under a heavy anxiety attack, if it's been hard for you to start producing and to keep going, there's a reason why you're about to strike gold. Oh, I'm about to hit it. Slap your neighbor high five and say, you're about to strike gold. You're about to strike gold. Y'all give me 10 more minutes. Can I have 10 more minutes? Oh, come on, look at your neighbor and say, you're about to strike gold. You're about to strike gold. Oh, God, you're about to strike gold. That's why you got to keep digging. That's why you got to keep praising. That's why you got to keep praying. That's why you got to keep going. That's why you can't stop. You're about to strike gold. Sit down. Let me give you this last little bit. Let me give you this last little bit. So if I don't refuse to plow, then the alternative is persecution. Because persecution is also a plow. You don't hear what I'm saying. It's also a plow. Because it digs up the stuff I really don't want to deal with. And it makes me dig deeper into the presence of the Lord, into the face of God, into the word. Ain't nothing like a little persecution to make you get on your knees. And say, Jesus. Stop playing around. Play, don't play. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Stop playing around. I need you to show up right about now. And he doesn't show up because he already sent it. You don't hear what I'm saying. And you're getting frustrated because he's not showing up, but he's going, I already sent it. Just give it a little bit more time, and it's going to feel like I'm late. But when it's all over, you're going to thank me for being late, because what you're going to do is discover what I already put on the inside of you. Oh, God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost in me. Yeah. Watch this. Can I get 10 more minutes? Can I have 10 more? So let's go a little deeper. Watch this now. So you have to understand that God puts something on the inside of us. And so if I could liken it, if you will, to the creation narrative, the Bible says that once he created everything, then he created man in his image and after his likeness. And this was the crescendo of his creation. And then he gave man work. He gave him an assignment. He says, I want you now to go and to speak to the earth like I spoke to it. So I want you to give things titles and give it names. And I want you to call stuff forth. Up until then, the earth didn't have to have resources sent to it from heaven, because the earth was built to have sustainability from within itself. So God never sent rain. The earth was, if you will, irrigated from the dew that came from within inside it. And it was Adam's job to just speak. He didn't have to toil. He didn't have to work. All he had to do was open his mouth and speak what God gave him when he created him, and it would be. So when God made Adam, and when God made Adam and put him to sleep and pulled Eve out of him, it was Adam that opened his mouth and said, she shall be called Eve, mother of all, because she's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She came out of me, so I get to name it. You get to name whatever came out of you. You don't hear what I'm saying. And so now, the Bible says that's how it was designed. But when the flesh got in the way, and when Adam fell, what happened was that now they had to till the ground to get the ground to produce what was on the inside of it. They had to plow. Before then, they didn't have to plow. They had to speak. So before the fall, I could speak. But after the fall, I had to plow. So God now sent something from heaven that put me back in the position to be able to speak again. He sent his word, oh God, and healed them. So now when I speak the word, I no longer have to. I just got to open my mouth and start declaring. I got the power to call those things to be not as though they are. Touch three people and say, speak the word, speak the word, speak the word. If you speak the word only, I know my servant will be healed. Speak the word, speak the word. I'm talking to somebody. Open your mouth and speak the word. Five more minutes? I got five more. Here's what happens. Here's what happens when you speak the word. Psalms 119, 25 says, Lord, quicken us with your word. Romans 8 says that indeed the spirit quickens our mortal body. Every time you speak the word, your body quickens. The word quickens means to come to life again. Not only does it mean to make to come to life, it means to sustain life. So when it quickens, it means it comes alive. It was dead. It wasn't receptive. But every time I speak the word, the spirit is on it and it quickens my mortal body. And so what was not receptive to what God sent, now my body wakes up and says there's something on the inside. So every time I hear the word, a small resurrection happens in my life. Oh God, who am I talking to? Slap your neighbor high five and say, get ready for a little resurrection. God's about to resurrect your dream. God's about to resurrect your marriage. God's about to resurrect your business. God's about to resurrect your anointing. Oh, I wish I had a church this morning. Touch three people and say, get ready for a little resurrection. When this word hits my life, something's about to be resurrected. Brought back to life. Oh God, who am I preaching to in this room? When the word hits your life, a resurrection happens. You are quickened in your mortal body. You are quickened by the word of God. Slap your name and say, I need to be quickened. I need to be. No, you don't hear me right now. You don't hear me right now. I need to be quickened. You don't even hear the word I'm trying to drop into your spirit. Come on, touch somebody one more time and say, I need to be quickened. You don't hear what I'm saying. I need to be quickened, because if I'm quickened, then I can go slow. If I'm quickened, I won't mind God being late. If I'm quickened, I won't be worrying about the time. If I'm quickened, I know I got resurrection power. If I'm quickened, I won't mind it dying. If I'm quickened, I know it's going to be all right. If I'm quickened, I wish I had somebody in here. I need to be quickened. Oh God, I feel an anointing. I need to be quickened. The only way I can be quickened is by his word. Because everything else fades away. Everything in the earth will die except the word. So if I don't have the word, my dream will die. If I don't have the word, my vision will die. If I don't have the word, my energy will die. If I don't have the word, my zeal will die. If I don't have the word, my spirit will die. I need to be quickened by his word. I wish I had 10 folk in here that understood what I was preaching to you. I need you to touch two or three people and say, I need the word, baby. Because if I get the word, then my life can be resurrected. My vision can be resurrected. My dream can be resurrected. If I get the word, I won't have to work so hard. If I get. Oh, God, I'm almost there. I'm almost there. I'm almost there. The word quicken means to bring back to life. Watch this. Watch this. Peter is writing. I'm closing. Peter is writing to these Jewish Christians who are having a difficulty with persecution. They're going through what is called fiery trials. The reason it's called fiery trials is not spiritual, it's historical. It's not fiery because the devil spit fire or something. It's fiery because Rome had the great fire of Rome during this time. And Rome almost burnt to the ground. Nero needed somebody to blame. So he blamed the Christians. When the Romans heard it was the Christians, they turned on them and started to try to kill them. So they were under heavy persecution. Oh God, you don't hear me. They were under heavy persecution. They were being sought after. and people were trying to assassinate him and take him out. The pressure was intense. It wasn't just some little spiritual warfare, it was life and death. And Peter steps into that atmosphere, into that posture, and says to them, let me tell you something. You have been born not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. Whatever is trying to kill you can't. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying. Whatever's trying to stop you won't. Whatever's trying to defeat you will lose. Because you were born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. Nothing can stop what God put on the inside of you. It's already heaven sent. I need you to touch two or three people and say, nothing is going to stop me this year because it's already heaven sent. I need you to look that individual in the eye and say, no devil in hell is going to stop the vision that God gave me, and I'm going to have the greatest impact I've ever had in my life this year. I need you to look that person in the eye and say, we win, baby, we win. I wish I had a church in here this morning. Clap three people, high five, and say, we win, we win, we win. We got victory because we got the word of the living God. We got victory. Oh, somebody shout unto God. Shout till you feel it. Shout until you believe it. Last thing. The word quicken not only means, oh, hallelujah, to sustain life, to bring back to life. It means to catalyze, like in terms of chemistry. It becomes an active thing in your life. You might as well stand up. It means to sustain life. Peter was saying that don't worry about the persecution. God put a defibrillator in the seed he sent you. So even if it tries to kill you, when the word hits you, slap your neighbor and say, clear. Oh God, I feel it in here. When the word hits you, clear. Oh. Who am I preaching to in here? There's a word that's about to hit you, and it's gonna hit your business, and it's gonna hit your marriage, and it's gonna hit your kids. God, I feel it. Clear? The word quicken also means to transfer possession. When the word quickens you, it transfers possession. Because an incorruptible seed has the power to be sown anywhere. That's why the sower scattered seed and wasn't concerned about the soil. You don't hear what I'm saying. Because over time, the seed gained strength. Okay, I'm sorry. Over time, the seed gains strength and gets strong enough to break through. Slap your name and say, transfer possession. That means whatever was trying to keep down what God sent, by forcing it not to have the proper atmosphere and the conducive soil, the incorruptible seed draws power from the thing that's fighting it and then takes the power, transfer possession, then gives you the power to break through the very thing that was trying to stop you. So it's like every time the devil hits you, you get stronger. I'm preaching to somebody up in here. Every time he fights you, you get stronger. And you just say, keep it up, devil. Because if the thief be found, my God, I feel like preaching it here. You got to return unto me sevenfold and the increase.
Somebody shout, transfer of possession. There's about to be a spiritual transfer in your favor. You were in the red, but you're about to be in the black. You were down, but you're about to be up. There's about to be a spiritual transfer in your favor. It's heaven sent, and it's sent already. So God, thank you for being late. Thank you for being late. I'm glad I'm just finding out about it right now, because I'm ready to receive. God, is anybody in here ready to receive what heaven sent? I'm ready to receive what heaven sent. I'm ready to receive what heaven sent. I'm ready now, God. I wasn't ready. I couldn't handle the plow. So I started trying to do it myself. And when I started trying to do it myself, I kept losing. I became more frustrated. I became more bitter. I wasn't growing. And I had to come to that place to discover you already sent it. You just put it in the unlikeliest place. Me. Couldn't you have hid it in a well? Couldn't you have put it in some bank account? Couldn't you have put it in a job? Couldn't you have put it in a relationship? Couldn't you have put it in something that was more fitting? Faith is not a worthiness contest. None of us are worthy. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. But God said, I sent my word. And I put it on the inside of you to heal you, to change you, touch you, to grow you. For those of you who are tired of doing it yourself, Jesus asked Paul a question. He said, is it hard for you to kick against the pricks? He says, Paul, why do you persecute me? See, is it hard for you to kick against the pricks? In other words, Paul, Saul, you're fighting yourself. You keep fighting yourself. Instead of fighting yourself, make a decision against yourself. Amen. Your tendency to kick back is hurting you. God, I can't take the pressure. I gotta get. And you kick in your own self. Stop kicking. Just choose against you. See, to choose God, you gotta choose against you. You got to make a decision against yourself. Your nature is to do X, and you got to choose Y. Right now, your nature is to say, when is this service going to be over? I hope you don't call an altar call. I really don't want to go down there. And you feel God tugging on your heart and get those little burning sensations in your skin. Because God is speaking to you saying, here's your moment. Here's your moment. I'm talking to you. I'm calling you. Heaven sent. He sent his word to heal you, to save you, to save you. Here's your moment. I want to pray for those. Just quickly, and I mean quickly, that have been kicking against the pricks, fighting yourself, resisting God, saying, God, I'm not ready. Who is? What does that mean? God, I'm not ready. I'm still not ready. I want to pray with you. Somebody's in here, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I want to pray with you. God has given you this opportunity, saying, I sent this word to heal you. If you're watching on Facebook Live, you're watching live stream, lift your hands right where you are, and God can touch you, heal you, save you. When I give this altar call, I'm giving it to you too. Here's your moment. You're in this room, and you're saying, God, I'm tired of doing it myself. I'm tired. I don't want to do it that way no more. I want to receive what heaven sent. I want to be born again. I want to change. I don't want to be frustrated. I'm tired of being bitter. I'm tired. And I want something fresh and new in my life. Here's your moment. I want you to meet me at this altar. I want you to do it right now. I want you to do it right now. I want you to do it right now. Come on, do it right now. Do it right now. Do it right now. Do it right now. Come on. Do it right now. Do it right now. Tired, man. The wonderful thing about the decision that you're making is that we've all been there. It's not a Christian on the face of the planet, not a person on the face of the planet that hasn't been where you are. Heaven already sent it. You just got to receive it. For those of you that are receiving the Lord for the first time, for those of you who are rededicating your life, for those of you who are just saying, Pastor, I'm just tired. I want that fresh touch. I can't do it myself no more. I want to receive what heaven sent. I won't refuse the plow. I'll let God help me to dig it out, to cultivate it, to pull it out of me. Because that's where he put it. That's where he put it. He put it in you. It's not in any drink. It's not in any person. It's in the Lord. It's in Christ Jesus. And he put Christ in you. Christ in us is the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Lift those hands at this altar. I want everyone praying with these people. Father, we thank you for these that have come to make a choice and decision to receive what heaven sent. Some are at this altar, God. They want to be born again. They want to be a part of your kingdom. They want to confess you as Savior. So for those, let them call upon your name right now. For the Bible says, they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And as they declare your name, Father, let that be a sign of their confession that you have saved them, that you love them. For those that are down here, Father God, that are frustrated with doing it themselves, it's not working. And they want to get out of the way. Father, let this word touch their spirits and hearts right now in the name of Jesus. Let a fresh oil come upon each and every one of them. A fresh anointing, a fresh touch, fresh fire fall upon them. A fresh zeal and a fresh fervor, a fresh energy be theirs, Father, in the name of Jesus. Let them know that they are forgiven, that you hold nothing against any one of them. that you love her more than they can ever understand or possibly imagine. Father, thank you for the word that you are depositing in their spirit right now, that it will take root and grow and birth and produce a power that cannot be denied. Father, I thank you for that level of power operating in their life. And I pray that once they put their hands on this plow, there will be no turning back. Their dark days are over. The light has come. 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 And for this, God, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Come on, lift your voice and give God praise all over the church. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, give him glory. Give him glory. Give him glory. Come on, take 30 seconds and worship the Lord. Come on.